Burns said, we appreciate the opportunity to be here this week. We appreciate the faithfulness of this church. My wife and I will finish first Sunday in September, 25 years of mission work. It's been the greatest trip of my life. I never dreamed a little boy from West Virginia. Nobody probably knows where Good Hope, West Virginia is. If you go to West Milford and keep on going, you'll come to Good Hope. We didn't have a stop sign. We didn't have a blinking light. We didn't have anything. And that's where I grew up. And God has taken us around the world. And that's been facilitated by your prayers and your support. I can safely say to anybody in this room, hundreds and thousands of people have been saved because of what God's allowed us to see and do, and I'm excited about that. So thank you. If you found 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll stand out of respect to the Word of God. Now, I want you to relax. I want you to take a deep breath. You know, it's Sunday morning, I know, and you will not turn into a pumpkin at 12 o'clock. Amen? Smile. Amen. And you don't have to come back tonight. So the preacher said I could take half of tonight for this morning. Amen. And it'll be all right. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 1, he said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we can come together. Lord, this is the very crucial moment in the year of this church as folks begin to decide and determine what you want them to do, and then as collectively as a church, what they will be able to do to continue sending the gospel around the world. So, Father, would you settle our minds and settle our hearts for a few moments today and open our hearts and our minds to what you could do and want to do through each and every one of us. Lord, use your word, speak to us through your Spirit, and Lord, have your way in every heart and life, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul is addressing the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and he gives us a very, very definite account of something that we need to just keep in mind. Now, 1 Corinthians 15 is the jumping off point, so just keep your Bible open. But it's a very crucial thing. Watch closely again what Paul said. He said, "I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." And then in the next couple of verses, he again defines the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "How that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." And he said, "This is the gospel that I preached unto you," in verse 1, "which also ye have received." Can I say to you today, folks, that being a member of Grace Baptist Church is not going to get you to heaven. Being baptized in the baptistry two or three times in your life is not going to get you to heaven. The only thing that's going to get you to heaven is the fact that Jesus Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and ye have received that into your life. That's why Romans chapter 10 very explicitly says that as many, you know, that whosoever shall believe on the whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then John tells us in John chapter 1, he said, "As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." It is not anything you do, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us. Amen. And it's the fact that we realize that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. May the 20th is a very exciting day for me. When I get to May the 20th of this year, it will be 47 years ago at the altar of the West Milford Baptist Church, a young 16-year-old boy heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I came and knelt on this side of the pulpit. I was there the other day. I told the new pastor, I said, "Have you ever tried to get rid of this building? I want this corner of the pulpit." That's where I got saved. Amen. I gave my life to Jesus Christ. That gospel changed my life. Amen. Now, folks, if it didn't change your life, if you've never experienced that, you've ought to check up on your salvation today. Amen. It's not a 1, 2, 3, repeat after me. It is God working in your life and understanding the gospel and receiving that gospel. And then just notice what he says. He said in verse number 2, "By which also you are saved if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." I like that. Amen. And at the end of verse number 1, he says, "And wherein ye stand." When I stand before God, I will not stand in my good works, but only in the fact that Jesus Christ died for my sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and the third day He rose according to the Scriptures. That's the only thing that's going to be any value in that moment. But now I want you to catch a key word in here. And Paul says in the middle of this verse number 3, he said, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received." Now you understand, Paul, on the road to Damascus, it's recorded for us in the book of Acts, Paul had that moment when he met the Lord Jesus Christ and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. His life changed. And he said, "Now, I am just delivering unto you that which I've also received." And so I want you to keep in mind and think about that. You say, "Preacher, what is so important about that word delivered?" Well, the important thing is this: the gospel of Jesus Christ, we have it, don't we? Amen? Amen. It goes nowhere by itself. We could pile Bibles up on this platform that have the gospel of Jesus Christ in it and can be used to proclaim it to the world until they go to the ceiling and cover this platform, but they will never ever leave this building and get where they need to be until somebody delivers that gospel to the people that need it. That's the key to this thing. You say, "Preacher, why is that so important?" Because when you think what the Bible says in Luke 24, he said, "And that repentance, remission of sins, should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Mark 16:15, he said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." We possess the thing that the world needs, and it's the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But it's not getting there without a delivery man, a delivery person. Let me prove it to you in Scripture here. There's a lot of introduction, only one point. You'll be glad to hear that. Amen. Go to Acts chapter number 15. Go to Acts chapter number 15. How's the gospel get places? It only gets there because it's taken and delivered. Go to Acts chapter number 15. Peter answers this question for us in Acts chapter number 15. Acts chapter 15, verse number 7, he said, "And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." How did the Gentiles get the gospel? Peter said, "Let me tell you." He said, "There was a great dispute going on in this passage of Scripture. If I mispronounce something or all that, it all deals with all this junk I'm dealing with. So go on, just pray for me and go on, amen. But there's a great dispute in this passage of Scripture that a bunch of the Jews wanted the Gentiles to become Jews, to be circumcised, to become Jews before they could get saved. And they're going to settle this thing. And Peter finally said, "That's enough of this." He said, "You know that a good while ago, before this ever came up, that God chose by my mouth." Now, where are the Gentiles? They're not in Jerusalem where they're at having this great dispute. They're not in that area of Israel where they're at having this great dispute. They were other places, and Peter had to deliver. He had to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and deliver it to them. Give it to them.
Amen.
That's the only way. How did Zambia get the gospel? Somebody had to deliver it to them. How's the military people in Korea going to get the gospel? I mean, we have it. It's here. Somebody has to deliver it to them. Look a little farther in your scripture today. I'll show you a couple more verses. Acts 16, you're right there in chapter 15. Go to Acts chapter 16. Paul is in Acts 16 having a little confrontation with God, and he says in verse 6, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the regions of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not, and they passing by Mysia came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And there stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." What was Paul saying? He said, "Here I am. I wanted to go over here," and God said no. "I wanted to go over here," and God said no. And he said, "When I finally stopped, I had the Macedonian vision. I hear the Macedonian call." And immediately he was obedient to that vision and that call. And he said, "And we went over into Macedonia and went over there." Why? To preach the gospel of Jesus Christ unto them. What was he going to do? He was going to deliver that which he had received.
Amen.
The gospel goes nowhere by itself. I was talking about this one day, and some, I'll say it kindly, some interesting person came to me. I wanted to say something smart of it, but anyhow. And said, "Well, we have computers. And we can send the gospel anywhere we want." Yes, you can. But that computer can't send it without you.
That's right.
Computers don't kick on and say, "I think I'll send the gospel to China." No. You have to have an address. You have to address it. "Well, I got my phone." But that phone will not send the gospel to anybody without you doing it. The gospel never gets to anybody unless somebody gives it to them. Now, folks, listen. That's a simple Bible principle that has got to be obeyed and practiced. Now, let me give you one more verse, and we'll kind of get to where I want to be. Go to Romans chapter 10. Go to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. I'm going to slow down because I want you to get this. Romans chapter 10, and in verse number 13, we quoted this verse. He said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then what's he say in verse 14? "And how shall they call? And how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" Who are they sending? They're sending somebody with the gospel.
Amen.
This gospel goes nowhere by itself. Paul later said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, he said, "For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you, for we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ." So you go on and on through Scripture. I mean, we talked about the other night when Philip Philip was there in Jerusalem and God said to Philip, arise and go down into the desert. Why was Philip going into the desert? To deliver the gospel to one man in a chariot that needed to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? Say amen.
Amen.
The gospel goes nowhere by itself. Now, let me give you one more thought in to tie this all together. You go to Revelation chapter number 4. You say, well, what is the consequences of getting this gospel to a lost and dying world? Revelation chapter 5 or 4 will tell you what the consequences of getting this gospel to the world is. I'm sorry, it's Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 and verse number 9. And he says, and then they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Three more times in Revelation, we won't read it, but three more times in Revelation, he says the same thing. That when we get to heaven, there's going to be people in heaven from every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. Now you say, what does that mean? Well, how many languages are they in Zambia, brother?
In South Africa?
Or in South Africa, I'm sorry.
There are over 130.
130 languages. You say, well, we got a missionary to South Africa. Really? Do we have one that is reaching people not just in the nation, but the people?
That's right.
In every one of those languages.
That's right.
Every one of those kindreds. Hey, listen, we're in West Virginia. Say amen. You go to southern West Virginia, they don't talk like us, do they? Amen. We have our own way of talking right here. Amen. You leave here and go to, my son's in New Hampshire. They don't talk right in New Hampshire. I walked in there the first time. This guy walked in and says, my name is Richard Tedderinko, and this is my son, Noah. I said, what? He said, my son, Noah. I said, you mean Noah? He said, that's what I said. I said, no, you didn't say that. Alan said, the first time he preached ever and got done, this guy walked up and said, that was wicked good preaching. He said, how can anything be wicked good? That's the way they talk, but they're in America. See, God is not satisfied that just some people from South Africa and how many languages do they speak in Zambia, brother? 72 languages. God's not just satisfied. He said, well, we got a missionary in Zambia. Is there somebody in Zambia reaching every person that speaks a different language, a different kindred, a different people?
That's right.
There's over 1,000 in India. And God said, that's the consequences of the gospel being delivered. It must be delivered to the uttermost. So how's it going to be delivered to the uttermost? We have to have delivery people to deliver the gospel to the uttermost. That's what a missionary is. Amen. A missionary is simply a delivery person with the gospel of Jesus Christ, taking it to the uttermost parts of the world. Now, I want you to stop and think about that. And then I'm going to make the point to the message. This is my little friend. Amen. You say, what is it? Some of you recognize it's an Amazon Prime box. I love Amazon, don't you? Amen. Come on, say amen, folks.
Amen.
I love Amazon. I don't have to go to Walmart. I don't have to stand in line. I don't have to find a parking place. In fact, this morning, my wife said, we need something before you leave this week. And I said, okay. I just flipped up the top of my computer, went to Amazon. It's already in there where I bought it before. Pushed the little button, says buy it again. Bing, bing, boom. It's on its way. I love it. See, after I spent 5 years with Stone and Thomas before the Lord put me in the ministry. Now, some of you know who that is, some of you won't. But if you lived here very long, you knew who Stone and Thomas was. I spent 5 years working there, five Christmases. I don't like to shop. I like Amazon. You say, it's great. It is great. You go in there, you find what you want. And you push a little button and you put it in your cart. And then you go to your cart
and you get ready to check out, and it asks you a question. How do you want this delivered? Now, people say, well, preacher, I got Amazon Prime. I know, I do too, but it's not free. So how's this package going to get to your house? Somebody's going to have to deliver it. UPS, USPS, FedEx. But they're not going to do it for free. You look there and it says, okay, delivery charge. And you say, oh, that's great. It's cheaper than driving to Walmart. Yep, push the button. And so the UPS truck backs up to the, is already probably already there, is backed up to the warehouse at Amazon. Your box has been all addressed and ready to go. Put it in that truck, and they come to your house and walk up to your door, hand you what you ordered. But you had to pay a fee, a delivery fee, to get it delivered to your house. You say, preacher, what is faith promise? Faith promises you paying the delivery fee for the delivery man to deliver the gospel to South Africa. It's you paying the delivery fee for the delivery man to deliver the gospel to South Korea and the military people. It's you paying the delivery fee for God to deliver the gospel to the prisons of Florida after it was delivered to Zambia and after it was delivered to Kentucky, and God knows Kentucky needs help, amen? He said, preacher, what is faith promise? That's what it is. You can argue about it all you want. It's not going by itself. And UPS is not going to deliver your Amazon box free of charge. Amen. Somebody's paying for them to bring it to your house. And God said, I want you to pay for the delivery man to take the gospel to a lost and dying world. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Go to Philippians chapter 4. He explains it to us in Philippians chapter 4. It's really simple when you get to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, you get down to the end of that in chapter 4, and it says in verse number 15, he said, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, you can order all you want from Amazon, they can put it in the back of the truck, but the truck never leaves. Guess what? You're never getting it. Paul said, I was here, and they needed the gospel somewhere else, so I had to depart. And notice what he says. And when I departed, from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. And then he says, not because I desire gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. He said, you sent once and again unto my necessity. Hey, brother, do you like to eat?
I do.
That's a necessity, isn't it? Amen.
It is.
You say, what do you do when you send faith promise to a missionary? You're sending again, once and again, unto his necessity. But what you're doing is, when Paul said, when I departed, nobody communicated unto me in giving and receiving, but ye only. You know what the church at Philippi did? They paid the delivery fee for Paul to deliver the gospel to Corinth, to deliver the gospel to Ephesus. Because when you read your Bible, Philippi was the first place he went when he went to Macedonia. So when he left Philippi, he said, okay, we're going to give you the money to go deliver this to the people at Ephesus, to the people at Berea, to the people at Thessalonica, to the people at Corinth. And he went on right on down the road. They were paying the delivery fee. They got it. They were excited about it. Now they're going to send it all.
Amen.
Now let me ask you a couple questions. You're sitting there, and tomorrow's the big game. Or Saturday, and it's Thursday, and tomorrow's the big game, and you just gotta have that shirt to wear to watch the football game. So you're on Amazon, you find it, and you get over to check out, and you know, you say, okay, for $3 you can get it Monday, but if you'll pay $11.50, you can have it overnighted to you. I learned something this morning when I ordered what I wanted. Walmart is giving Amazon a run for their money because they went to two-day shipping. like Amazon always had. So today, starting now, Amazon is offering one-day shipping. You say, I want that thing, but $11? The shirt's only $9.99. But I gotta have it. You just gotta understand. I gotta have it. I don't want to be the only person in the room without a shirt, one of my sports team shirts on, so you bing, push the button, and here it comes. God help us that we're more consumed in getting what we want and are willing to pay any fee to get what we want than we are to spend a little money to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. Huh? God said, I'm ready. I've got the guys ready. I've got the guys ready. They're ready. You met Michael Schaefer and his wife on Thursday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. There's only one missionary now in the entire country of Iceland. 10 years ago, there were 7 missionaries in the country of Iceland, but they all bailed out and came home. And those 7 missionaries were mostly reaching the military people. And then when America pulled all the military bases off of Iceland, now all the missionaries bailed out and went home. And there's nobody reaching the Icelandic people. And the Icelandic people are sitting tonight waiting for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what are they waiting for? They're waiting for us to pay the delivery fee to get it to their house. I wish you could meet Chris Shaw. Chris Shaw is a modern day pioneer missionary. God called him to go to Greenland. And Chris Shaw studied it and found out that there was no independent Baptist missionaries in the whole country of Greenland. He found out to get to Greenland, you had to go to Iceland. And you had to stay in Iceland for a year. You could not go to Greenland from America. They would not allow you to immigrate there, to get a visa to go there and live, to do any kind of work like that. You had to go to Iceland. Then you petitioned the government to go down to Greenland. Or up to Greenland, one or the other. I forget which way it is. So Chris Shaw got there, praying, him and his family. 4 months later, after contacting the Greenlandic government, they said, come on. He gets to Greenland. He learns the language. Starts reaching the Greenlandic people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Starts the first church in Greenland. First Baptist church of any kind in the country of Greenland. He gets the churches starting. He said, well, maybe I better go see if there's some regulations with the government. He goes over to the government office, said, is there any regulations about starting churches in Greenland? They said, no, what kind of church is it? And he said, told them what it was. And they said, really? He said, we don't have a Baptist church in Greenland. We don't have a recognized Baptist church in Greenland. How would you like to be it? He said, well, what does that mean? It says, is there any restrictions? No restrictions. Is there any regulations? No regulations. Well, what does it mean? It means that you can invite anybody else that wants to start a Baptist church in Greenland directly to Greenland because you're the Baptist church. You're it. You can do it. He said, sign me up. And now J.R. Wright and his family have moved to Greenland to help start other churches in Greenland. You say, preacher, what are you saying? They were just waiting for somebody to deliver the gospel to them. And God's servant, the delivery man, was ready. All he waited on was God's people in churches like this one to pay the delivery fee.
Amen. And get it to them. Amen. You'll find the same thing, and I'm about done. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, he said, talk about that they had, well, go to 2 Corinthians 8. I'm having trouble remembering it, amen? Hadn't had enough coffee. Y'all pray for me, amen? I need more coffee. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and he says there in verse number 4, he said, praying us with much entreating that we receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us. Got to underline that. By the will of God. Amen. Now Paul said in verse number 4, they were praying us that we receive the gift.
so that we could take on the fellowship of the ministering to the saints, deliver the gospel to those to people. And he said, but this they did not as they hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord. And then he said, and unto us, by the will of God. How many of you here want to be out of the will of God? I grew up in a different generation, okay? We didn't have time out at my house. Amen? We didn't have time out. We had, go to your bedroom, your dad will be in there in a minute. And when he came in, he would say, do you know what you did? Yes, sir. You know what the punishment is? Yes, sir. Bend over, touch your toes. Amen? I had a lot of encounters with God long before I got saved. Amen. But you know what that taught me? It taught me, as Hebrews later tells us, to respect my father and that fatherly authority. And when you violate that father's will, there's a consequence to pay. Amen. Amen. And Hebrews tells us that we have fathers in this flesh that corrected us. What about the father of our spirit? I don't want to be out of God's will.
That's right.
I don't want to be out of God's will. I don't want to be out of God's will. So paying the delivery fee, according to Paul, was something they did according to his will. Now I'm going to say this and we'll give the invitation. Folks, it's pretty easy to understand, isn't it? What God wants us to do. Now to not do it is just to be disobedient to our Heavenly Father. That's as simple as I can say it. To know it, Paul said in that same word right there, look in Philippians chapter 4, the same passage we're in, or back there at Philippians chapter 4, and I'll read this and I will tie it up and I'll be done. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 9, he said, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's he say? Just do it. So it'd be disobedient to know it and not do it. Amen?
Amen?
In a few minutes, you're going to get a faith promise card. You say, what's this faith promise card for? It's for me to pay the delivery fee to get the gospel to the world. And to not do it would be just disobedient out of the will of God. That's what Scripture says. Not me. 44 years ago Friday, my wife and I got married. This past Friday. And we have, since that day, every week, tithe, missions, tithe, missions, tithe, missions, tithe, missions. 44 years. I'm looking right now at $5,000 worth of medical bills. I'm glad I had insurance. It's been a whole lot worse. Amen. You say, are you worried about it? No. Because Philippians chapter 4 says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. But Philippians chapter 4 has a principle involved. What was the principle? You got to practice the principle. The principle was, They were funding Paul. They were paying Paul's expenses to deliver the gospel to Macedonia. And as they were paying the expenses of Paul to deliver the gospel to Macedonia, he said, now here's the promise you can claim. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You're going to get this in a minute, and you're going to have to decide. And can I say to you, people say, well, I don't want to fill out that card. I don't want nobody to know what I was doing. There's nobody's name on here. Nobody's going to know. So just quit using that as a cop-out for being disobedient. There's nobody will know. You say, so I write a check, somebody will know. Well, yeah, you write a check for your tithe, somebody will know. But I'll tell you who knows before you ever write the check. God.
Yeah.
And then you fill this out. And You say, well, why do you fill this out? So you will make a commitment to God. Amen? Two, the church knows what to expect to come in so they can support missionaries. Amen? And three, it makes you be honest with God. It makes you be honest with God. Huh? Now, my question is this. I was in Romania one time preaching, and I won't tell you the whole story, but I preached four times in one day at the same church. And after I'd preached the fourth time, they gathered around me and they said, we do not have a pastor. We don't have somebody come and preach to us every Sunday. Would you stay here? Would you come back here and be our preacher? And I said, I can't. I got to go back. There's things I do. But I'm going to tell you, there's places like that all over this world. They're just waiting for this package, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only thing keeping them from getting it is the delivery man's waiting to be paid. The delivery man's waiting to be paid. Will we pay him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this night. Let's stay. Thank you for the privilege it is to fund the gospel to go to the world. Now I pray, Father, you'd give us all wisdom in this hour and knowledge. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. With your heads bowed.